Game number 61 for the Boston Celtics at home versus the Utah Jazz. This is the Celtics pregame show on CLNS Radio. Thanks for tuning in to CLNS Radio here on the 29th of February, 2016. I am Larry H. Russell, to be later joined by David Locke, Jazz Radio play-by-play voice, getting you ready for tonight's contest at the TD Garden, where the 28-30 Utah Jazz take on the 35-25 Boston Celtics. Tip-off is at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and tonight's telecast will air on Comcast Sports in New England and 98.5 FM, the sports hub here on the local airwaves. The Celtics enter the game as 5.5-point favorites, over-under of 202.5. Tonight's officials are Zach Zarba, Matt Boland, and David Jones. Injuries for the Jazz. Starting shooting guard Alec Burks is likely out for tonight's game, as well as Dante Exum, who tore his ACL prior to the season. And for the Celtics, Kelly Olynyk's injured shoulder is apparently progressing, but is still some time away. Therefore, obviously still missing tonight. The Celtics are undefeated so far in their five-game homestand, with two wins in the bank against the Milwaukee Bucks last Thursday and a 101-89 victory against the Miami Heat this past Sunday. The Jazz, meanwhile, have embarked on a four-game road trip, with Boston being their first stop. Utah has lost their last two games, including a 98-96 home loss to the Brooklyn Nets. Leading the Jazz in scoring is Gordon Hayward, but the big guys who make things go for the Jazz are Derek Favors and Rudy Gobert, both coming off double-double performances against the Celtics in a win on February 19th. Gobert leads the team in rebounding and shot blocking, while Favors is the team's leader in efficiency. Currently the slowest team in the NBA, the Jazz are 12th in the league in offensive rating and 13th defensively, giving up a shade over 105 points per 100 possessions. For a more in-depth look at the Jazz, let's go to the wall and speak to those butterside downers. David Locke, Utah Jazz radio play-by-play voice and host of Locked On Jazz and Locked On NBA. Our segment with David is brought to you by SeatGeek. Have you ever been frustrated trying to buy tickets online? Most sites make it complicated and they all try to sneak in huge fees at checkout. That's why you need to try SeatGeek. They've made it easier than ever to buy and sell sports and concert tickets. Listeners of this show get a $20 rebate on their first SeatGeek purchase. A big fat Andrew Jackson back your way. How do you do it? Download the free SeatGeek app, go to the setting tab, and click add a promo code and enter promo code CelticsBeat. That's CelticsBeat, all one word, CelticsBeat, no space. And SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first purchase. What a deal. Download the free SeatGeek app to claim your $20 rebate today. David, welcome back here to the CLNS Radio airwaves, and so soon for that matter, although not under the best of circumstances, because what in the blue hell happened in that Nets game?
You know, the Jazz didn't play well, and that happens probably similar to the way Boston didn't play well against the Jazz. What I actually think is going to happen to the Jazz a few times is, you know, the other night we played Houston in this big game, and both Gordon Hayward and Derek Favors afterwards kind of conceded that it was the largest game they'd ever played in their NBA careers. And when you're doing that night in and night out, I think you're going to have some duds. I think this is going to be a really hard run for this young a team. It's the second least experienced team in the league, and I just think it's such a young group with guys who've never done this before that inevitably there's going to be some nights where they are exhausted. And I think we saw the first of them against Brooklyn. They fought back late, but they just couldn't get it rolling. And Brooklyn's not – I actually was impressed. I think Tony Brown's doing a good job. They've won 5 of 9, and in the last 10 games, they're the 11th best offense in the league. So I think they're actually – I think they've gotten out of the doldrums of when they just didn't care and have kind of moved into a different zone, and they're playing pretty well.
Oh, Boston fans aren't going to accept that reasoning. You're supposed to tell them it was a terrible loss. We let the Celtics down. It was treason to the NBA. But I was, I watched, obviously, the Jazz against the Celtics back on the 19th, and we talked on that day as well. And the Jazz had won, I believe, as we mentioned, 6 of 7 going into the All-Star break. They won that last game against Phoenix. But it seems like they haven't really gotten off the schneid since that All-Star break. They beat the Celtics back on the 19th. They looked really good, and they did it on that crazy back-to-back after they played in Washington the night before. You mentioned how health was the difference early on at the beginning of the season. Can you sort of tell what's going on now as to why the Jazz really haven't gotten cooking here since the All-Star break?
Frankly, I think it's schedule. They've only had one bad loss. That was Brooklyn. But frankly, they lost at Portland, which a lot of people have done recently. And they lost to San Antonio, who's great. In the meantime, they beat Boston and Houston, who are both pretty darn good. So I actually just think the schedule got them a little bit, and then the Brooklyn game is the one outlier that if that didn't happen, they're all right. The one thing that that you're kind of alluding to that I think is really important, and I think Boston was able to deal with this correctly earlier this year, is there's something to team momentum. You know, Portland has it right now. They're really good, but they believe they're better than they are because they strung off a bunch of wins in a row against below 500 teams, and then they began to believe in themselves. And partially the Jazz schedule hasn't really given them the opportunity to get to that, but they also just haven't done it. So, you know, that loss, I don't know if at Washington is a bad loss right out of the All-Star break. It's hard to say. They lost right before the break at New Orleans, and maybe that one is one you should look back at and say you should have got. But they just haven't kind of linked seven in a row, or maybe they're not good enough to. But there's something to teams that go link five in a row, six in a row, and they begin to believe that they're really good. They win some games because of it, and we haven't done that yet.
That was an issue with the Celtics, I thought, at the beginning of the year, why they haven't been able to string anything together. And the Celtics, while I don't want to say they've sputtered since the All-Star break, they've added a little tough scheduling. But right before the All-Star break, they won a very nice run, and I was wondering when they were going to be able to get that consistency to get to a point where they can start racking off some wins. So you've been traveling with a team. They're about now to go out east, and it begins with their game in Boston tonight on Monday. I mean, this is sort of a very general question, David, but how do you just the general senses of the morale of the team, if you want to let the audience know to the best of your abilities to do so?
I mean, I think it's a bunch of guys have never done this before. Gobert and Hood are our first-time starters. Shelvin Mack, Warhol Wilmeto, whoever's starting is the first-time starter. And Hayward and Favors are marquee guys carrying a franchise for the first time. So you've got a bunch of guys that for the very first time in their careers are either going through being a starter or that are going through trying to lead a team to a playoff run. And I think they're burdened a little bit right now. It's hard. And then our schedule on this trip is, you know, at Boston, at Toronto, down to Memphis and New Orleans. Somehow we got to find a way to grab two of them. And I would assume they got to be Memphis and New Orleans. It's always hard to end up win on the backside of a road trip. So the Jazz chance, you know, Jazz will not be probably be a 7-point dog, I would guess, or something of that sort. I'm not a gambling guy, so I don't really know the lines. I am a probability guy, and so I would guess the Jazz win probability against Boston is probably about 25%. You don't win many of those games, and the Jazz have a lot of these games where they're a pretty hefty underdog, and they're going to have to find a way to steal some of them if they're going to make the playoffs.
I was ready to ask you that. I was going to say, does this possibly, because I was looking at their schedule, does this put a greater emphasis on the game tonight? Because I'd like to think that the Jazz match up very well against the Celtics. I know it's a road game. Boston's played very well at home recently, winning 10 straight home games. But you look back at the game on the 19th, you did a great job pointing out the missing dynamic of Kelly Olynyk going into that game, talking about how the Celtics not having that guy to draw a Rudy Gobert out of the paint. Gobert and Favors had big games. I mean, it sounds to me that you don't really feel too great about this game, and I find that odd after watching what happened on the 19th with what the Jazz big men did to the Celtics.
I'm not sure why, either it's the way the Jazz have played or my miserable seat that I broadcast from, but I always have feel like we've had bad experiences in Boston, so maybe that's why. I don't feel like we've played a very good game there in a long time.
I think 08 was the last one.
So maybe that's part of it. I do think the matchup right now, as I talked to you about last time, Kelly Olynyk stretches the floor for you. And I thought your spacing was really suspect or challenged, might be a better word, when Kelly Olynyk was not on the floor the other night. And it allowed Favors and Gobert to have a tremendous impact on the game. And I thought your guys really, we call it Gobertland when Rudy's in the paint. And it's a mean, nasty, evil place. And moms and dads can't let their children go in there alone because there's monsters. And we have all sorts of fun with them on the broadcast. And that was a big Gobertland night because your guys looked like they wanted, you know, they got bothered by his length and didn't want to partake in it. And without a lot of strong outside shooting, when you have, you know, Avery's been really hot, but he wasn't that night. And Marcus is not a good outside shooter. So when you have those things taking place, it obviously, without Kelly Olynyk to bring one of the bigs out, it made it hard for you guys that night. And I'm sure Brad will have some counter to it, but there are some aspects that maybe this matchup is in some ways strong for the Jazz.
Real quick, have you heard anything on Alec Burks' status for the game tonight?
Latest word is he will not travel with us on this road trip. I think so he will not play, at least early in the trip. I mean, I guess there's a theory, in theory, if he got ready, he could fly out and join us somewhere along the way. But he's coming off a broken leg, still needs to get that fixed. So we'll be without him, and we're missing him a little bit right now. Chris Johnson, who you guys had, and I think Brad Stevens at one point has said that he is one of his favorite players he's ever had. I mean, he is. You can't do anything but love CJ. 5-10-day contracts, now making the NBA, but the poor kid's a 20% three-point shooter, and they're corner threes more often than not, and they're wide open more often than not. And at some point, you got to clip at a higher rate than 28%. It's hurting the team a great deal right now. As great as he is in every other aspect, effort, hustle, defensive prowess, I'm sure he'll play Isaiah Thomas a little defensively. He's done a lot of great things, but teams are leaving him open, and it's struggling. It's interesting. I think we're missing Alec, who's a better spot-up shooter than people realize for some of that aspect, more than the driving and the crazy plays he makes at the rim that people associate with him.
David Locke, Jazz Radio play-by-play and host of Locked on Jazz, and now Locked on NBA. David, thanks so much for joining the CLNS Radio airwaves once again.
Always a pleasure, and despite my little shot about our broadcast site, I do love being in Boston, one of the great cities in America. Thank you very much for the time.
Forgot to give David's Twitter a shout. David can be found on Twitter at Locked On Sports. Kind of got a prediction out of him without really even have to asking or asking how he felt that game. So, because it seemed like David didn't seem all too confident in the Jazz prospects for tonight's contest, even throwing around the number 25%. Mentioned the Jazz's history in Boston. I mentioned it briefly in the interview when I interrupted him there. Yes, the Jazz have not won in Boston since March of 2008, which was an accomplishment in itself in its own right that year. The Jazz were one of the four teams during that regular season to win in Boston in 08. But no, it has not gone right for the Jazz in Boston. Last year's contest saw one of the highlights of the season for the Celts with a Tyler Zeller buzzer beater to beat the Jazz 85-84. But will that translate to tonight? Boston has had a lot of trouble with other teams' big men recently, and the game back on the 19th in Utah saw that play out with Gobert and Favors absolutely dominating as the Jazz rolled over the Celtics in the first game back after the break, 111-93. Draft pick watch, a twofer in Dallas last night as the Dallas Mavericks smacked around the Minnesota Timberwolves 128-101. Dallas remains at the sixth spot in the Western Conference and now two full games ahead in the loss column from the playoff threshold. Minnesota remains the fifth worst team in the NBA, which have now parlays over the 35th overall draft choice to the Celtics in the coming draft. And the Brooklyn Nets, that's all we care about, right? As stated with David, 98-96 winners back on Saturday night in Utah. They're in Los Angeles to face the Clippers tonight for a 10:30 Eastern Time tip. Brooklyn remains two losses behind the Suns for the third worst record in the NBA and are two losses ahead of those aforementioned T-Wolves. Programming information on behalf of CLNS Radio. The Garden Report is back tonight on CLNS Radio with the postgame show shot in high definition on the garden floor to go along with the raw and uncut videos from the locker room and press room. Available at youtube.com/CLNS Radio. That's youtube.com/CLNS Radio. And as always, the postgame show will go live on CLNSradio.com immediately following the final buzzer. If you want to call in to get on these airwaves, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771, or listen on CLNSradio.com. Our next ticket giveaway is for a monster contest at the Garden on March 23rd, a crucial Atlantic Division battle as the Toronto Raptors come to Boston in a few weeks. So you want to try to win tickets to that game? Here's how to enter. Subscribe, rate, and review Celtics Beat on iTunes. Subscribe, rate, and review Celtics Beat on iTunes. You can't leave a review without a subscription, and you need to leave a review so we can see your name, so we can get your name into the hat. So again, subscribe, rate, and review Celtics Beat on iTunes, and you are in. The drawing will be on the March 20th edition of Celtics Beat, so that's just in a few weeks. Get in now by subscribing, rating, and writing a review for Celtics Beat on iTunes. We will be back here in this space on Wednesday as the Celtics take on the Red Hot Blazers. Will the Celtics be trying to be continuing a winning streak of their own? The Celtics have a 10-game home winning streak on the line tonight against the Jazz. Joining us will be Portland Trail Blazers color commentator and former NBA veteran Antonio Harvey. We thank David Locke for offering up his time today, and we thank you for listening as always. For today's Boston Celtics pregame show with LHR on CLNS Radio, this is LHR signing off.